We thank you for those songs that are built around this precious book we're fixing to open, the Word of God. And we ask this morning, Lord, you let the Holy Spirit that lives in us, who are saved, move our hearts in a direction it needs to be for your glory, and someone not saved, draw them to the Lamb of God, that we might do our best to present the Word of God from this book. And we ask that you'd honor yourself today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn. We first of all be finding Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to look a few verses in Proverbs this morning. We've been talking about faithfulness here at Fellowship Baptist Church in Stewardship Month. We talk about, first of all, the first Sunday, faithfulness to God and His house. Then we talked about faithfulness last Sunday to God and His Word. And today, you've been blessed to come in. You'll be glad you did. We're going to talk about God's faithfulness in giving. Somebody said, oh, me. No, this will be a joy, because I believe with all my heart this book teaches us what we need to do, and thank God for this book. I'm so glad I understand this is the written word. God reveals the living word, and the Holy Spirit comes in with the living word in our heart, that Christ lives in us, in turn, to help us and guide us. And he said when the Holy Spirit begun, he teaches all things. And one thing for sure, he teaches from Old and New Testament, giving is one of the things that God Almighty blesses when people give from their heart. And give because to be obedient in God in giving, rather than trying to bribe God by doing something and thinking that they themselves would get something because they bribed God. You and I can't bribe God. But I'll tell you this, he'll bless you when you're obedient. And anybody who's lived long with him and served God like they should knows what I'm talking about at this hour. So this morning, we come to the time looking about giving. And my title simply is this, what is your motivation for giving? I asked this myself weeks ago. What is my motivation for giving? Giving my life, giving all that I had. And of course, Barbara and I understand what that is. And some of them don't like to hear about it, but we keep going back and realize what God allowed us to give to him all, and then what he's given back through these years is a blessing. I mean, we literally started losing everything we had to start with to come here and start over again in this church. And I'm setting an example with all the blessings and misunderstanding that people may have. God, you can't serve God without being blessed. Amen. That's all there is to it. He keeps his word. I think about before we get into the message, you found that place. There was a pastor who came home one day, and he was out of breath. And his wife said to him, what in the world's the matter? He said, you know, I thought of something this morning. I'm going to start. And what happened, and I decided that to save some money that what the church needs right now, that I'm going, instead of getting the bus to come home and go back to church every day like I have, I'm going to run behind the bus. And when I run behind the bus, I save $1.50 a trip, and said that I'll give that to the church. And his wife looked at her and he said, well, honey, let me ask you a question. That won't very bright to do. He said, why not? I mean, after all, $1.50 there and $1.50 back each time, give to the church and mount up after a period of time. She said, well, if you're going to run behind the bus, she said, you know, it costs $10 to run behind a taxi. Why don't you run behind the taxi and you give $10 a week each time? Well, it's the way you look at things, isn't it? So this morning, let's look at what God has to say as we open the Word of God and look into, first of all, Proverbs chapter 1. And over about, we're going to look in verse 7 to begin with. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. And Solomon said this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. Now, I've circled that many years in my Bible. And every Bible I have, I go back and I highlight that verse. Because the Bible teaches us here that the fear of the Lord, that's a reverent trust of God. That's a reverent obedience to God Almighty. He says, literally, is the beginning of knowledge. And he said this, those who refuse that knowledge, look what he says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In other words, God said a person who listened to God, who brought us into existence, who gave us everything we had, who would not understand that I have set up a system for my kingdom, I set up a system for my work, and I've left more for your work to enjoy here are blessings. And for a person not to see that, he says that they literally despise wisdom and instruction. Now, if you look with me also over in chapter 9 and look down at verse 10, he says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, he said that here in verse 7 of chapter 1, the beginning of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But he said, here's the beginning of wisdom. And he said, notice that, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. You know, the beginning of the Lord is wisdom here, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And what he's setting forth, that when God reveals to our heart about what we should do, there will be understanding because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Unsaved people can't understand this because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They see things through fleshly eyes rather than what God has to say. Now look at Proverbs chapter 3 with me, and we look in verse 9. Solomon said here, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thy increase. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that's Bible as much so as John 3:16. You know that's Bible as much so as Romans 10, 9 and 10, 13 and verse 17. And he says, so shall, if you meet this criteria, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Someone said, well, I don't have barns. Well, that's the figure they had in that day. It was showing in that day where goods were put and what happens when one had a good crop or whatever. In our day, you may use a different terminology, but the same principle is that we serve God. And then he said in verse 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the father of the son to whom he delighteth. Then watch verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. That ties these verses together. That person who has happy has fine wisdom and understanding and gets that understanding and applies it, he's going to be a happier person than one who does not for the merchandise. Now, read, why is that? He said the merchandise of that wisdom and understanding is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. I mean, silver and fine gold is, look at what we look at today, the most precious thing that man can have. In fact, that's what our currency and things are based upon. And so he said here, but wisdom that God gives and also understanding that we get from God is better than that. Why? Because you could make all the money in the world and buy everything you want to buy and not have peace with God. And yet on the other hand, we can have what God says is wisdom and knowledge, which in turn gives a relationship with him, and in turn, God would be pleased. And he said, she's more precious than the rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, even to the fact that God said sometimes life is extended. And in her left hand riches at hand and honor, he said. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. And he goes on and he says, and all her paths are peace. Verse 20, by his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. In other words, in the knowledge of obedience to God, God opens things in such a way that the world can't understand. They'll lambaste, curse God and everyone else. But you understand, it came from the hand of God. And then if you know verse 4, chapter 4, he said, verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom. In other words, that wisdom and also the knowledge, he understands, he's talking about knowledge, when it's applied in the likeness of God, God honored to bless because that's his word. He said, I'll bless because of my word. It isn't that we deserve it so much as it is just obedience to him because of who we are in the family of God. Wisdom, the principal thing, therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thy head an order of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sins, and the years of thy life shall be many. What is your motivation of giving? Ladies and gentlemen, do you know when you think about the Christian life, and you think about when you, in 1 Corinthians 4, which says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. When it comes to the things of life, stewardship is the manager of three things in life for you and I. And on this Sunday, the third Sunday, for years, at least 49 years, when we have stewardship month, we have the time of when looking at what God says about giving, what it says about life, what it says about his church. We looked at those already. And then what he says about trying to win souls. But there's three areas of life we have to be good stewards over. Over our time, we have to be good stewards over our talents, and we have to be good stewards over our treasure. If we find obeying God with our time and with our talents that he gives us and with our treasure, then we will be complete like we should be in the life for God, in the sense of obeying him in the areas of where he can use us for his glory. Now, the book of Proverbs is a collection of teachings from Solomon to his son. And it gives him things in his life in a manner that God would be pleased with. If you do this, as he speaks and God speaks through him, he says that God would be pleased with this. So Solomon's advice to his son is the advice that you and I should hear and heed today as much so as in that day as children of God. Why? Because you don't find where God ever changed what he says here. Some things he made better. And he's going to make things better for us one day. I mean, all the accounts are not going to be seen here. We get to heaven and see God's accounts. You're going to see that a lot of things are going to take place there that's going to be different than here as we walk on that street of gold. So notice Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord said, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thy increase. Now, we know what first is, and we know what first fruit is. It's setting forth that which in turn comes in that God blesses with. He says, I have no... make no bones about it. The first part of that part is mine, and you can use the rest for yourself and also for my glory. Now, these verses here of Scripture can be applied, like I said, to stewardship today. To honor means to hold another with great respect. Notice he said, honor the Lord without substance. And to honor means to hold someone in great respect. In this particular case, it would be the Lord. When we honor this, it means to esteem highly. It means to worship it with an attitude. To honor God with our substance. Substance means anything in life that he has given to you and I. Material-wise, possession-wise, property-wise, resource-wise, wealth-wise, even praise of the lips-wise. You know, it's an amazing thing to me when you think about the Word of God. In John 1, when he said in the beginning of the Word what God and the Word was, with God, is that words are spoken by a mouth that has a tongue in our case. And so what happens is God has given us the ability to understand words. And he can speak to us, and he talks about God, his son, that's another message, but God talks about God, his son, coming as the word, and the living word reveals the written word. So a lot of things God gives us in this book about his son, which is the word, the written word, gives a lot of ideas of putting brackets in our life. But the written word don't tell us specifically what to do about everything. It gives generalities. And God leads us in directions what we should do or not do because of the word of God hid in our heart. God, the word, lives forever. God, the word, became flesh. And now, as the Spirit come to indwell on the day of Pentecost, that same type word is in us to help us understand and motivate us not only to hear and listen, but to use our tongue to speak the things that God tells us to speak to the world and to him in praise, and yet at the same time that he may use us for his glory until we get home on the other side. And so substance means a subtotal of accesses in life. In the Old Testament, it's a possibility. We see that in everything, really, it meant cattle, crops, land, vineyards, those things. In the New Testament, it talks about it would mean income, possession, saving, and things like that, because that's where we're at in our particular day. And the first fruit of all thy increase, he says, give. Now, why? God desires our first fruit when we come into his house to worship him. Worship does not start with the preaching of the word right now. Worship starts the very minute the first song is sung, the first prayer that's made. All of that together brings us and should bring us together to worship God in a way that would be pleasing to him. And ladies and gentlemen, don't it make sense? If we're going to come and give our time to worship God, shouldn't we do it in the right way? Amen. Why waste our time in worshiping if we're not going to try to worship? How are we going to know? Without the word of God, we would not know how. So worship doesn't start at the preaching of his word, but from the very word, first note of a song. God is honored when we sing and when we give all of ourselves to him. In Psalm chapter 13 and verse 6, David said this, I will sing unto the Lord because he had dipped bountifully me. In Psalms 21 verse 13, David said, be thou exalted, Lord, in thy own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power. God deserves and asks for the first fruit. You say, well, preacher, is God just a taker? No, he's more a giver. Ladies and gentlemen, we owe God everything. Did you know that? You say, well, I don't know. Hey, you won't be here today unless God let your heart tick. Well, he don't have any control of that. Just wait and see. He started it. He can stop it. I said, listen, everything we have came from God. I'm convinced of that in my own self. Everything. Our eyesight came from God. Our hearing came from God. Our breathing came from God. The air we breathe comes from God. The lungs we use come from God. Everything. God is a God of giver. Every way you turn, he's a God of giver. He let us come here safe today. If we could see everything that he could see in the spiritual world, Satan would try to stop some of us from coming. It may have. We don't know it yet, but God protected us. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, our intelligence belongs to God. We don't have a thing that don't belong to God that he hasn't given to us. And by the way, I've learned a long time ago, he gives it to us, and he gives it to us on the basis of how he speaks to us about our life in him. Psalms 30, verse 4, David said, sing unto the Lord, all you saints of his, and give thanks to the remembrance of his holiness. God desires our first fruits. What is the first fruit? The best. I was a farm boy. I saw that years ago. When it comes to our work for him, Colossians 2, verse 3, verse 23, he said, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. We can honor the Lord by living a pure, holy, faithful life, by learning and giving out our biblical truths to others when we have a chance, give our lives to study, help God, ask God to give our mind and control that, that we can bring things together systematically so we can teach those things which will be pleasing to thee. So what is my motivation for giving? What is your motivation for giving? 2 points quick and we go home. First of all, God is the first and the best of everything anywhere. Brother, I'm telling you, that's right. You can't get away from that, that God is the best. Sometimes we get in a hole. Sometimes we get in a situation physically that we hurt. But we know this, God is still the best. He's the best. Ladies and gentlemen, he let us live in the most best time probably as far as medicine that man's ever seen. As far as the knowledge we have today. The fact that we, through medicine, God could allow us through medicine and doctors and things that extend life back to biblical times in our last few generations amazes me. Because we could be dying a lot quicker for what God has blessed us with. And I'm going to tell you something today, and I know I'll be probably talked about this. I believe God gives that to this world because his children in the world benefits by it. I just believe that. I believe everything we've ever found out, God has given to us because of his children. This is not our home, but it's a wicked place, and we're attacked in every way we can be attacked in. And so what he does, he blesses his own, and he blesses the world. He blesses the just, and he blesses the unjust. And when he blesses the just, sometimes the unjust are blessed with that. And I give God credit for that. I know this. No man could have an intelligence door without God giving it to him. Somebody say, well, no, so-and-so's got IQ so high, he just learned it himself. Who gave him the IQ? No one decided I'm going to give a DNA or whatever to a person that's had to do that. It's done by when God set up birth years ago. So God is the first and the best. Since there is no God like the living God, he must have the first and best. God is worthy of honor. Did you know that? If you don't believe that, turn to Revelation with me in chapter 4 and see what has happened about the 24 elders up in glory in verse 9. And when those beasts came, or verse 10, the 4 and 20 elders fall down before him. This represents Old Testament, New Testament saints for most Bible scholars. That sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, if we even win a crown here, when we get to see what God in reality, rather than by faith, what he's done for us, the crown won't seem much that we have, because we realize we got it because of him, and he deserves it all, and lay them at his feet. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And by the way, all things includes men and women. The only thing about it is, in Adam and our first forefather, we fail. But God still loved us, didn't he? He prepared a way that we could have life. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, also the Apostle Paul gave us some insight along this line about giving. He said in chapter 9, if you look down about verse 6, you go down, he said, but I send you, he which soweth sparingly will reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully will reap, shall reap bountifully. And he said, every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not drudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound in you. And that's the grace he's talking about giving. You see, people, ladies and gentlemen, you're talking about there's saving grace that God gives to save our soul. Did you know that? There's grace of living. The same grace that saves us, grace teaches us how to live from God's word. There's not only saving grace, there's living grace. God gives us grace to live day by day. There's dying grace. God gives grace when time to die. It's something we don't need, but God gives to us when those times come because it helps us get through that. And now he's talking about giving grace here when it comes to that of substance. He said that you always having a sufficient in all things may abound to every good work. That is, and God is able to make is to make all grace abound unto you, always having all sufficient. That grace of giving, God has got ways abounded back to us in many ways in this physical life. And he said, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He had given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Watch in verse 10. I love this. Then he makes this statement. He said simply, he said, now he that manifested seed to the sower both ministered bread for your food. He said, I'll bless the person with the seed to sow it, so he can produce the food that you'll be blessed with later. You didn't sow the seed and didn't plant it, but I'll fix it so you can arrange and get it. If you had to buy it, you'd be able to buy it. If not, then there'll be tough shit. He said, I'm working through the system. Everyone will be blessed. And I thank God as I look at this thing of motivation to serve the living God. The term first fruit actually is its roots in Exodus chapter 23, verse 19. And notice something about this. This struck me in studying the last few weeks and this morning early. Again, notice if you read that verse, the first fruits, he says, the first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring unto the house of the Lord thy God. What? He here didn't say the first fruit. He said the first of the first fruits. I say, preacher, I don't understand that. Well, let me tell you about a boy raised on the farm. You know, years ago, I thank God my mother can. Anybody know what canning means? We didn't run the story of time needs something, but I don't think you got with flour and some things like that. Well, she canned stuff. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with canned beans and canned peas and cucumbers and whatever, where do you put them in the freezer, whatever it is. Nothing wrong with those things. But after they've been there a period of while, especially 5, 6, 7, 8 months, they don't taste quite as good as they did when they come out of the garden. They're good. But I'll tell you, every year when you get those first peas, those first butter beans, and those first potatoes out of the ground, they taste a little bit different than the ones been 6, 8 months in the storage. And when you come around, you kill hogs. Everybody remember that? You have hog killing day. You kill 4 or 5 hogs, 3 or 4 hogs, depending on how many people go together for it. You put them and salt them down somewhere. Brother, I'm going to tell you, that meat being salted down in the barn for 6 months, it was all right to eat and was good, but the best time in this world when you ain't had none much lately and the first fruit comes out. I remember killing hogs. We kill hogs. Next thing you know, next thing we cook that very day with sausage or something like that. That's what God has said. The first fruit, the first of the first fruits that come forth, he says, mine. And he said, give it to me. And by the way, I don't ask for it all. Isn't it an amazing thing when you get to thinking about, ladies and gentlemen, 10 cents out of every dollar? God says, mine. Whether we believe it or not, it makes no difference. He's already said it. Isn't it an amazing thing that all that God did for us, that's all he requires for us? Now, people give much more. I'm sure. In my life, I learned to do that many years ago. But I'm telling you, isn't it an amazing thing? You look at what Christ did on Calvary. You look at the thorns. You look at the spikes. You look at how he was speared. Look how he was treated. Look at his beard poured out. Look how they mocked him. Look how they spit upon him. Look at what Christ went through. You think God don't deserve more than a tenth? But he said, I'll tell you what, I'll take a tenth and I'll do my work with that amount and you'll get as much out of 90% as you get out of 100% if you obey me. Well, anyhow, it's truth, because this is something you have to experience to know about. And then when I see this wonderful truth, the first of the first fruit, note the first of the first fruit. Now, the second thing I want you to note, some think that God is a great taker rather than giver today. Oh, he's always asking because his men or his people are talking about he's always wanting something. God wants this and God wants that. He wants my life. He wants my money. He wants my service. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, God is the great giver. He's a greater giver than you and I are. Amen. I'm going to tell you that. You'd be surprised the time, glory to God, yet sometimes you pray to God and nothing else could help you in this world but God. And God will come to all of us sooner or later, somewhere if he hadn't already come. He'll come to some of us later, sooner or later, and there'll be something in this world will not help us at all, but God will help us still. You can't buy that. You can't buy it. And it's worth it to know that you're trying to serve the one that loves you so much this out of eternity. Everything that God created was designed to reflect his given nature. I mean, the sun gives heat, the cloud gives rain, the trees provide oxygen, and the earth gives resources, and on it goes. When you look at everything about life, God is a generous giver. Our new nature says, be generous, because we know that God will provide for every need. He's promised that. It's the old nature that's not generous. The old nature is greedy. And the old nature's there all the time. And Satan reflects towards the old nature. Many preachers today teach today that one must give to get wealth from God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, listen. I believe if one is blessed because they give to God, but you don't bargain with God. I never believed that you can bargain with God in the sense of saying, Lord, if you'll do this for me, I'll do this for you. It ought to be, Lord, I'll do this for you, whatever you do for me. Just help me walk in your steps. Help me walk with you, Lord, with all my failures and so forth. The key to becoming wealthy is to, they say, to give God that first. We do not give to become wealthy. We give to obey God. And I don't care who tells us to do that. Otherwise, we're going to find out that Satan can trick you, and many things in wealth people get when God is left out. You're going to find out it didn't mount much in that day. They say that Luke 6, 38 opens the door to double your gift in returns as to what God will return to you and I. We give to him, and he gives more to us than we actually need. But when you look at Luke, when we turn, I'm not afraid of that. Look with me in Luke chapter 6. You heard it many times. You've heard many people trying to raise money. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Verse 38 of Luke chapter 6. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. Now, I believe with all my heart that God will do that for those who obey him. But he's not laying out a check to anybody to do that. Only the child of God should understand it. Notice it, for what the same measure that you meet with it shall be measured to you again. Notice he said in the second part of that verse, though, that he said, when given, it should be given to you, good measures pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. God said, I'll bless men who believe in me, in the fact when I bless a person to do something for some. You think about the hundreds of people this church has helped in 50 years. Thousands upon thousands of dollars have been given to people that's helped. God used Christian people to help people in need would not have had it had they not been there. You know why? Because God, we know, has promised to bless us if we see a need. Sometimes it may not have been a need. We got tricked. We got deceived. But we gave it out of heart. That's one reason I like about giving collectively. We give collectively, and God gets the glory. If I give individually to someone for something out of that, it's very easy for the flesh to want the glory. But when we give collected for someone, praise be unto God, God gets the glory. Because no one knows except the bookkeeper and who count the money, who did what. So what happened, most of people give God glory. When we rejoice, when you see on Wednesday, special missionary and things like that, that's on our prayer list on Wednesday night. And so I thank God for what we see in this thing. What is my motivation for giving in this particular life? Now, I will give to God because you alone, O Lord, deserves it. I will obey you in your giving. And I pray that you'd help me. I'd honor you by giving to you my substance and first of all the first fruits of my increase. And I could go back, but I won't. Years ago when we started, some things I do the days because I started then, because there's certain things I want to be sure God gets first before I ever get it or not. And I know that people don't understand, but Barbara and I do. We made some promise to God. There's certain things in those early years. We didn't have the church, didn't have the money to give us. And we made promise to God that we'd do certain things beforehand so to be sure the money would be there. And in turn, God blessed down to the end of the age. We do not worship wealth. We are to worship God with our wealth. We don't worship wealth. We worship God with our wealth. And that means we recognize where it came from. God blesses those with what they have by letting him be first in everything. I don't believe that the Bible teaches the so-called gospel is given that if you give a $10, you can get $100 back. But I believe this. God may give more or less, but what he gives you be what you need. I believe that, folks. I believe that the Bible teaches that if God's child is faithful with the first fruits of his blessing, he understands that all the wealth that he has is accumulated from God in this life and was given to him by God. That is motivation to know you can't outgive God. You can't do it. And many of you in here have been used to bless this church and doing it today. Without you supporting our church, we wouldn't be here. You can't run this thing on grass. You can't run it on hog feed. You have to run it on money. So thank God. I thank God Almighty, because even what we started years ago were not people today who understood what we're doing and say, Lord, I believe in what's happening here at this time and support this church financially, ladies and gentlemen, is a sign that you are trying to do together what we can't do by ourselves. There's no way in the world that Bar and I could finance this all by ourselves. In fact, he wouldn't even be here, probably because he wouldn't be here. But look what God has done together. And down through the years, God has given us people, and now many go on to be Lord, and now he keeps giving us people who are willing to say, yes, I believe in that. And in turn, let God touch their heart about what it is to go. We're going to be taking next Sunday. We're going to be taking faith promise. Let the card be passed out like this. We ask you to pray about it. Lord, pray what it is that I could give to missions this year and to the rest of this year and for 12 months, that we might continue our mission program and also add missionaries on to them as time goes by. It's just a simple way of what you call faith promise. And so we look and see all of this, and what is your motivation? God, you are all-powerful. Richard, what is your motivation? God is all-powerful. He's majestic. He's loving. He's redeeming God. You are my God. You are my heavenly Father. Therefore, I'll serve you. I'll worship you. I'll honor you by giving you my substance of what I have, the first fruits of all my increase. Proverbs 3:9. Lord, whatever it is that I can do, I'll do. Not only here, but outside of here for God's glory. I believe tithes in the local church. And then where I go, I say that to people. And then on the other hand, anything outside of that, I can go, as long as I know it's serving God and doing something for God, I can give to that. And we do that at times as we pray about those things. I know many of you do the same thing. And so he says this, notice the promise that God made in Proverbs 3:10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses burst out with new wine. Isn't it amazing? God is honored. In Exodus 23, verse 19, he says, when we give him the first of our first fruits and not the leftovers. God desires the very best that we can possibly give him, because God gave us his best. Ladies and gentlemen, we hear so much about Christ and watered down back happened 2,000 years ago. But let me tell you something. The best that God gave 2,000 years ago was his son. By the way, he didn't have to do that. He created the angels and he dispersed those who failed. He created man in his image. And he could have, when Adam and Eve sinned, stopped it right there. But before he ever created, maybe I say to you, he said, I'm not going to have what happened with the angels before. I'm going to create man in my image, and I'm going to work toward a goal to have a society with me one day, which will be part of my family. And he planned it out all the way from Genesis. And by the way, I do know Genesis is the first book of the Bible. Amen. If you don't understand that, you'd miss Wednesday night. But anyhow, I do know that, by the way. I'll tell you more Wednesday night when I get here. Amen. What I'm saying to you, we don't give out our barns and presses burst out of the seams. Our giving is simply the rewards of obedience. When we give God that which is his, he promises that there will be sufficient provisions of bread for his child. Generosity, listen to me, folks. Generosity is natural when a grateful attitude prevails about God's goodness. When we see the right attitude about how good God is, and not look at it like our eyes of the world through that which has to do blockage of things in this world, we'll understand how good he is. Faithful in giving honors God. Could I read the last word and we're through 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Notice what the Apostle Paul said. I love this because it gives an insight to the church at Corinth, one of the carnal church that there is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you start down, I'll paraphrase, go through it real quick, like he said, moreover, brethren, verse 1, We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, talking about giving here now, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gifts and take upon us the fellowship of the minister to the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first they gave their own self to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Greece said, give us it without God. But they said, no, not them. They said, no, we're going to ask God about this. And then he said, insomuch that we desire Titus that he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace. Watch in verse 7 now. But therefore, as ye abound in every, and I love this, notice again, everything, faith, utterance, knowledge, and all diligence in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Now, I speak not the command by the commandment, but by occasion of the affirmance of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. You promised something back to these people. And I'm telling you that I believe you're going to do that. And I don't speak by commandment of God to do this, no. But I'm speaking because you promised this. He said, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice. He's talking now, and a person that, hey, Paul said, could say, be you followers of me, the church of Corinth, because I'm followers of Jesus Christ. I give you my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, and not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. You promised this a year ago. Now keep your promise. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was readiness to will, so there might be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and be burdened. And that comes from God, because he said, I don't mean anyone in the church to be eased or burdened. One be eased, another be burdened. I give you a plan that works for all. And I'll tell you what, if a person makes $100 a week, and they give $10, and a person makes $5,000 a week, and they give $500. As far as God is concerned, it's equal. Are you kidding me, preacher? As far as God is concerned, it's equal. He set the system. I did not. And then he goes on, and he says, for if there be a first will in mind, except and so forth, for I mean not that he should be burdened, but look at verse 14, but by an equality, there's the answer to it, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also might be supplied for your want, that there may be equality, as is written. He that had, again, then he finished with this verse, and I finished today. He that had gathered much hath nothing over, and he that had gathered little hath no light. Father in heaven, I thank you again on this day, Lord. Well, this is a blessing of life to understand you and what you've done for us. It's a recognition of us to understand how we can give to you through your system and know that it be used for your glory. Lord, you arrange that where people sacrifice, you will bless them, but it be through your system. And Lord, there's not a person that any church has ever been started that when they started out giving their all and starting off that you didn't give back more than they lost. And it comes from the people. I don't have a thing, Lord, since I left Shawcross years ago. I don't have a thing that had come from you through your people. I thank you for that. It's hard in those early days. No one knows, but we had people did all they could do. And there was hard days. But Lord, I'm so grateful to understand in the hour that God keeps his promise. He's not like us to make something and die and forget it or not do it because no one knows about it. He lives forever. And Father, I believe this book. And I believe with all my heart, anytime I can't measure your step, anytime I can't count what your step is and which way to go, I can trust your heart. And I learned that through the years. God is a God that's so great and yet so loving. And you remind us, and I thank you so much for the stars of heaven from time to time. This is not our home. If we can just get through this life and use what God gives us for his glory, then, Lord, what will happen one day when we get on the other side is way beyond this. You said there's mansions there, and there's gifts there, there's a reward there, there's crowns there. Help your people to see that You love so much. You're not browbeating someone. When a pastor gets up and preaches the scripture about giving, rather than trying to raise millions and millions of dollars for some other type of ministry, Lord, the church is who you work through. And I thank you again for the day. Holy Spirit, may you be able to use words today as you use my heart in studying this, and many who've taught this morning, the Sunday School Hour, seeking God's will and face for what to be said. We use our tongue, Lord, to manifest words that hid in our heart. As you help us understand with our minds, many times just seems incapable to grasp the things of God because of our little intellect. And yet we understand that though you work through our intellect, Lord, the Holy Spirit that lives in us uses the Word of God to teach us. And then in times when the Word doesn't spell out this or that or the other, thou shalt or thou shalt not, I'm glad that the Holy Spirit would use our learning to drive us. Lord, there's things you did not tell us about. You didn't tell me who to marry or not to marry, but you told me the type of person I should marry. Dear Father, it's amazing. You didn't tell me what job I was going to take, but you told me that when I took a job, I need to let you be first. I didn't find in the scripture that thou shalt work with shall cross 12 years. I didn't find in the scripture that I'd marry Barbara Innes on such and such a date. But I had guidance looking, and with time, God brought us. God, help people see this thing serving you is not like the world thinks it is. And that hit that word that God gives us through the Holy Spirit lives in us will start us understanding things about God. And then the Spirit will quietly speak to us and guide us, shut a door, open a door, and lead us in that direction that the Word, the living Word in us, God's Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ Himself, lives in us to direct us. You said He teaches all things, that which is not revealed exactly in the Word of God, drives us and leads us the direction where God will be pleased. Sometimes we fail, Lord. Sometimes we miss it. But at the same time, thank God you're there. Help someone see that today. If someone's feeling the tire of the Spirit of God tugging their heart, it's the Holy Spirit of God taking that precious word that's been said and drawing that person to the Lamb of God. Bless your name today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.